Bobby explained about S.J. winning the free week at Camp Winnawinaya and how Mrs. Sullivan was going to visit her sister in Wisconsin at the same time, plans which had now been finalized, big gray dog and all. "Damn it, that's just my luck," his mom said. She almost never swore. Said that cursing and what she called dirty talk was the language of the ignorant. Now she made a fist and struck the arm of the glider. God damn it. She sat for a moment thinking. Bobby thought as well. His only other close friend on the street was Carol, and he doubted his mom would call Anita Gerber and ask if he could stay over there. Carol was a girl, and somehow that made a difference when it came to sleepovers. One of his mother's friends, the thing was, she didn't really have any. Except for Don Biderman, and maybe the other two that were going to the seminar in Providence. Plenty of acquaintances, people she'd say hi to if they were walking back from the supermarket or going to a Friday night movie downtown, but no one she could call up and ask to keep her 11-year-old son for a couple of nights. No relatives, either. At least none that Bobby knew of. Like people traveling on converging roads, Bobby and his mother gradually drew toward the same point. Bobby got there first, if only by a second or two. "What about Ted?" he asked, and then almost clapped his hand over his mouth. It actually rose out of his lap a little. His mother watched the hand settle back with a return of her old cynical half-smile, the one she wore when dispensing sayings like, "You have to eat a peck of dirt before you die," and "Two men looked out through prison bars, one saw the mud and one saw the stars." And, of course, that all-time favorite, "Life's not fair." "You think I don't know you call him Ted when the two of you are together?" she asked. "You must think I've been taking stupid pills, Bobby-o." She sat and looked out at the street. A Chrysler New Yorker slid slowly past, finny, fender skirted and highlighted with chrome. Bobby watched it go by. The man behind the wheel was elderly and white-haired and wearing a blue jacket. Bobby thought he was probably all right. Old, but not low. "Maybe it'd work," Liz said at last. She spoke musingly, more to herself than to her son. "Let's go talk to Brodigan and see." Following her up the stairs to the third floor, Bobby wondered how long she had known how to say Ted's name correctly. A week? A month? From the start, Dumbo, he thought. From the very first day.